This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, it's Race Again. This is Frida Liu. Facilitating meaning from rhythm interventions is our series. John Hagedorn from Better Training Solutions is back. And today, you know, to kickstart the series, we're going to find out what is a rhythm intervention. So welcome back, John.
Thank you, Frida. Nice to be back.
And what's the reason we've got you back? What is a rhythm intervention?
All right, for my purposes, a rhythm intervention is a training tool. Better Training Solutions does work in business communications. But what we've been doing lately is bringing in a lot more things like drum circles, rhythm games to use as a training tool. And that's what we'll be talking about mostly as this series progresses. But first, we have to find out what we really mean by a rhythm intervention here. A rhythm intervention. Let's look at this in two parts. First of all, an intervention, right? An intervention is what comes between the here and now and the there and then. If you see something happening there and then, you want to get in between it and intervene, mm-hmm. right? You're driving your car somewhere on a nice little country road. You see a tortoise crossing the road. You stop. You intervene, right? It kind of messes with the future, okay? Mm-hmm. It changes things. It rehabilitates outcomes that you foresee, right? Your teenage daughter's going to marry a creep. You want to intervene, right? You want to somewhere get in between, right? Talk to her at least, okay? So this is what we mean by an intervention. It's something that you put in between so that you can get a better outcome. And this is what we do in training as well. Right. You train people so that they can perform better, you know, and somewhere down the line do better than what they're doing now. And there's several different kinds of interventions that we use professionally. I mean, we've got medical interventions. We've got academic interventions. When people go for counseling, that's an intervention. You've got political intervention, unfortunately, military interventions, the whole thing, right? But in training and development, what we're really looking for is that the facilitator or the trainer steps in and does something, provides an activity so that the people who are attending the training will have a specific outcome that's based on a corporate objective. And this is why we intervene. But now we add this second part, the rhythm part, and that's what makes it interesting. Because if the intervention is the agent for change, then rhythm is kind of like the catalyst for change. Because rhythm is what moves the process forward. The nice thing about using rhythm in a training program or in any kind of intervention is that rhythm engages the whole brain. So as a result, we're facilitating the learning process because the rhythm that you're providing is engaging the whole brain, and that leads to whole brain learning. We have an automatic biological response that comes from rhythm.
Okay. Now, I wanted to ask as well, when you say you intervene and you use a rhythm intervention in training, what do they usually use you for? I mean, how do you incorporate that into training? Is it when they have a problem and they're trying to, or is it building teamwork and that's where this comes in handy?
Team building is a big thing. Lots of people use drum circles for team building because the metaphors are obvious, and we'll talk about that. But this is no different from any other kind of training activity that you put in there. It's just a part of the training program where now we're going to do this activity, except instead of doing something like a writing exercise where you're going, let's imagine we're doing a business writing program. Instead of doing a writing exercise where you're going to sit down and do directly some writing, what we're going to do instead is we're going to play a rhythm game. And this rhythm game is going to be a metaphor for what I would like you to achieve or what I would like the outcome to be here. As an example, here in Malaysia, when people write business letters, we have a tendency to write according to the way that we learned back in Form 5. Dear sir, with regards to the aforementioned subject, I would hereby like to kindly inform you that...
Right? Therefore, henceforth.
Yeah, enclose you with please find as according, you know, and on we go with this language that we were programmed to learn. So what I did one time in a business writing program is instead of opening with talking about business writing, I gave everybody a drum or percussion. And I said, all right, everybody do this. And I gave them a rhythm that they had to play. I said, okay, very good. Keep going. And they went on like that for like 3 or 4 minutes until obviously they were becoming very bored with it. All right. And I said, look, what's the problem here? You don't seem to be having any fun with this. And they said, well, we're doing the same thing over and over again. We're doing and I said, yeah, okay. All right, then. Let's now move this into business writing, where you're doing pretty much the same thing. How do you think your readers feel if you do the same thing over and over again? So a little intervention like that is kind of cool, because now, in addition to getting them thinking about how little fun it is to be patterned, they're also now entrained. Their minds are all thinking the same thing. Mm. Their minds are lit up because we've been doing a rhythm exercise, and this is what helps get people thinking the same way. It develops like-mindedness here.
Okay, now I guess I want to know, is it, why is it that we, you know, why is it that when we feel a rhythm when we move, and does it apply for everyone, even if you're deaf and dumb?
All right. I've heard of, well, there are drum circle facilitators, which is a whole, you know, different topic. Drum circle facilitators that I know. In fact, it came out on a list. There's a Yahoo list that we all subscribe to. And there was one drum circle facilitator in the United States who was asking a question about that, saying, today I'm going to work with a bunch of deaf kids. How do we do the drum circles with them? And somebody wrote back and said that at one point they were teaching deaf kids how to dance. And what they did is they took speakers and turned them all up full volume and aimed them at the floor so that the rhythm of the speaker was felt. And as a result, these deaf kids were able to dance according to the rhythm that they felt, not necessarily what they hear. Now, the interesting thing behind this is that when you hear a rhythm, it doesn't only trigger your auditory system. You don't just hear it. But the interesting thing about rhythm is that it triggers both your auditory system and your motor system. It's what we call rhythm induction. And that's why if I start playing something like this, all right, you could probably pick it up and do the same thing. And
you
got to
bring the drums in next week,
okay.
John.
But if I stop, you keep on going. Yeah, and because you've got this predictive rhythm that's happening in your head now, and you can just jump right in on that and feel it the same way that I gave it to you and do the same thing. Because you're feeling this in addition to hearing this. So you're getting it from two ways. And this is why rhythm is often accompanied by dance. Mm. This is why people get up and dance when they hear a rhythm. This is why people start tapping their feet when they hear a rhythm. This is why drummers, people like me, when they hear a rhythm, they start banging on something as well. My poor steering wheel in my Proton has got dents in it from, you know, sometimes these songs come on.
Listening to BFM.
Of course, right? But since you're getting this double input now, this double whammy, your auditory system and your motor system, this is why rhythm influences cooperation in groups as well, because everybody's feeling the same thing at the same time. This is why you get chanting, singing, dancing together. This is a cultural universal, and it's all based on rhythm. This is why at football matches, you get people who are all chanting together to support their team. You think of African tribes, the things that held the tribes together, where their sacred rhythms and their dances, you know, getting together. And this is a cultural universal, again, all based on rhythm.
All right. Now, how can a rhythm intervention work if nobody in the group knows how to drum or dance? We'll ask John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions right after this. In Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, free minds. Woo! BFM 89.9.
Good morning, it's Race Again. This is Frida Liu and John Hagedorn from Better Trading Solutions, facilitating meaning from rhythm interventions. Our series was kicking off with what exactly is rhythm intervention. And you're saying that we all have a rhythm, whether we're deaf or dumb or whatever. But really, like, how can a rhythm intervention work if nobody in the group knows? They say, but I don't know how to drum, I don't know how to dance.
I hear this a lot. I hear this a lot. And it's baloney. It's all up
in
here
the
in their heads. And you've heard it, too. It's usually the guys, you know. Everybody goes out on the dance floor, and there's always one or two guys who are sitting there, and they say, oh, no, we can't dance. And it's just an excuse because they feel like they don't want to get out there and, you know, psychologically make fools of themselves.
Two left feet, no.
Everybody can dance. Everybody can drum. It's inherent. It's inside of you. It's a part of the way we are brought up. It's a part of our nature. And this comes from, actually, it's kind of interesting to think about this, because this comes from, the theory says, from bipedalism, the fact that we walk on two legs. During our evolution, if you go along with this, right?
Bipedalism.
Bipedalism, two legs, all right? Because we started out, according to theories of evolution, we started out running around on four limbs. But as we developed, then we started walking on two legs. And as you walk on two legs, you have to have a certain gait.
True.
Which provides or causes a rhythm. So people say that everybody has rhythm because of this fact, that we all have a gait. In fact, if you look at patients who have like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease, they lose that sense of rhythm. They lose that sense of having a particular gait when they walk. And that's why sometimes you see these elderly people with these diseases just kind of shuffling along, because they've lost that. Something up here has kind of short-circuited and they don't have it anymore. But everybody knows how to drum. Everybody has that rhythm. And if it's not from this, there are daily rhythms in life. The first sound that you ever heard was a rhythm before you were born. At the age of about 6 months, the embryo inside the mother's womb develops hearing already. And the only sound that's available is the constant heartbeat of the mother. Mm-hmm. And the first sound that you hear then is that rhythm. And the rhythm alters. Sometimes it slows down and it's nice and mellow. Sometimes it picks up a little bit when the mother gets excited or exercises, all right? So the heartbeat is the first thing that you've ever heard. It's the first thing that you ever entrained to was this heartbeat. And then there's walking. We talked about, you know, two legs. Breath. The fact that you breathe in and out is a rhythm. The phases of the moon, if you want to expand this a little bit more, all right, is a rhythm, a 30-day cycle.
Okay.
We have the seasons, if you want to look at it a little bit more. We've got day and night. All of these things are rhythms. So as a result, humans are living in a world of rhythm. So when I hear somebody say, I don't know how to drum, then I think, come on now, where are you? You can't be living in the same world as all of us. And when you sit somebody down after they say, I can't drum, and they do realize that they can, and they become a part of this drum circle, it's a very empowering feeling for those people, because they overcome something that has been blocking their natural rhythms in their mind.
Okay, now, the word entrainment, right? That's something I've heard as well. You know, what does that mean and how does that work?
Well, this keeps on popping up in our conversation, because this is really what it's all about, is entrainment. When we're running a drum circle or when we're doing a rhythm intervention, entrainment is our goal, that we get everybody doing the same thing at the same time and develop a sense of like-mindedness among the group. Now, entrainment comes from a lot of different fields. First of all, we can look at it from the field of physics, right? And this is really kind of like a physical scientific definition here, right? If you take two systems that have different independent rhythms and place them together on a common platform, those two independent rhythms will synchronize. All right. Essentially, that's what we mean by entrainment, is synchronization. Mm-hmm. And if you want a good example of this, all right, for those of you who are sitting in front of your computers right now at work, pay attention. All right. Go to YouTube and search this out. Search the words 32, the numbers 32, metronomes. Metronomes, like that little thing on the piano that keeps time.
N-O-M-E-S.
Metronomes, yes. Not metrognomes like that, okay? But 32 metronomes. Search that out. And watch that video. And what you will see are 32 metronomes that are ticking independently that after a couple minutes all begin ticking at the same time. This is a physical law. This is entrainment.
Wow.
All right? And it's stunning to watch. It's kind of scary to watch, because when you see them all ticking together like that, you start thinking, wow, look like little soldiers there, you know? and you think of the goose steps that they use in the military. Everybody on the same beat, drums in the military. This is what gets people entrained. There's a neuroscientific definition as well, in addition to physics, because our brains produce brain waves. We're familiar with that, right? And there's a theory that says if we can synchronize your brain waves with an external stimulus, that will enable you to, let's say, fall asleep, okay? There are people who have trouble sleeping. They listen to an external stimulus that is supposed to entrain their brain waves, and then they'll be able to sleep better. All right. They have specialized software or things like that that help you do that. Because what happens is your brain is normally in beta. All right. That's your normal daily routine. As we sit here talking to each other, our brains are in beta right now. But then the next step towards relaxation is alpha. Mm-hmm. And then you get into theta, the meditation stages, gamma for the people who are way out there, the out-of-body experiences. But what entrainment does is it helps you to produce more alpha waves as you drum and as you entrain with the people around you. It helps you to relax more, and the brain will produce alpha waves. All right?
We're all in the same wavelength.
Exactly. Exactly. I've been told there's a guy, Arthur Hull, who's kind of like
yes,
the guru of all
we've
this,
had
right?
Him.
Yeah, we've talked with him before, right? Mm. And he uses this idea too. He says that he can go into a conference or a meeting, and if he does a drum circle or if he does a rhythm intervention before the conference or before the meeting actually begins, then everybody who's there to attend this meeting is suddenly thinking along the same wavelength. Mm. They are entrained. They are like-minded. And as a result, they can get down to business much faster than if they were to sit down and discuss things on their own, because they've had a rhythm intervention that synchronizes their thinking, that synchronizes their brain waves. Mm. Interesting stuff, yeah.
I guess with organizations, if we're all thinking the same way and moving in the same direction, like the metronomes.
Right. Metronomes.
Metronomes, right? Yeah. Right. You know, and that will just helps the organization.
Synchronization always helps an organization. Mm. Right? If you've got a good leader who sets the rhythm, who sets the pace, and everybody else falls into place along with that rhythm, then that's what keeps it moving forward. Right.
Next week, the three levels of corporate rhythm interventions. That's our discussion. John Hagedorn will be joining us again from Better Trading Solutions. Race a Game, BFM 89.9. Oh, before that, we have a song from Todd Rundgren. We have to. It's Bang on the Drum All Day. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.